Well, good evening, ladies. As some people have said, I'm Patrice. one of the single sisters here in Gwinnett, and I was convicted when Carol asked me to speak about prayer. You see, over the past several months, I've challenged myself to step up my prayer game, or my prayer life, as some people may call it. And I've gone through a lot of emotions this past year, but I'm so grateful to God that He's taught me how to submit everything over to Him, and He's still teaching me that through prayer and fasting. And I'm just going to share with you some of the things I've learned. So I think the last time I talked to most of you, I ended with a scripture in Psalm 37:37, where it talked about I was choosing to love peace and see God open up a wonderful future for me. Well, since then, anxiety, fear, insecurity, worry, doubt, all began to cloud my heart and mind. And 6 months ago, I didn't really have a clue what my future looked like. I didn't understand where I was headed. Here I am, I'm single, I'm not in a relationship. And what does that really mean for me right now today? You know, I wasn't ready to really go on dates at the time. I went on dates, but my heart wasn't all there. You know, I was still in healing mode. Another birthday was coming up. I was turning 46. I'm like, okay, what does this look like? I felt like a lot of my friends were kind of pulling away from me. I started to feel insecure about some of my female friendships, sisters, you know, people in my family even. And I was asking myself, who really cares about me? My job at the time was boring, and I was like, I don't know if I want to continue to work this job anymore. yes, I graduated with my graduate degree, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't have a clue what the next step is. So one night I was watching War Room. It's one of my favorite movies. I know a lot of you have seen it. But with War Room, I was like, you know, I need to, again, find out what's my prayer strategy right now at this phase in my life. So I watched it, and I said, okay, I went to Philippians 4 as one of my favorite scriptures. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I was like, okay, this should be my theme scripture right now. This should get me back to peace. So I thought. But it really didn't at the time. I didn't really identify what exactly am I anxious about? What exactly is consuming my heart and mind? Let me name it. Let me put it on, like, write down sheets of paper and put it in front of me so I can understand what it looks like. So I was starting to feel overwhelmed. I said, okay, let me just think in the next 30 days, what can I do to put this in front of me to pray about these things just in the next 30 days? So I was like, all right, that way I can figure out what is in front of me and what's going on. But before I started doing that, I started looking at different scriptures that have always convicted me over the past 19 years as a disciple. And I went to James 5, verses 13 through 16. Is any one of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I was trying to see, what does God say about prayer? God says prayer is powerful. Am I making that powerful in my life right now? Is this becoming effective? You know, when I'm going through hard things, do I really let the power work? Am I confessing what's on my heart? Am I confessing my sin to other people? Is it just anybody, or am I confessing it to righteous people? Who's in my life that's discipling me? Am I praying for who I need to be my discipler? These are all things that I started to realize. Am I mourning over my sin? It's one thing to confess sin, but it's another thing to mourn over it. And that's something that God is teaching me how to do even more as the years go on, it's like really go to the depth of what's causing you to be this way and to feel this way and to go through these things. So I started to see this is the only way that's going to move the heart of God is true repentance. I started looking at Ephesians 6:18, where it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." Prayer is a weapon. And I started to realize this is at the end of the armor of God, of like, wow, this goes right at the end of it, but this is the most powerful tool. Am I using it this way? And that's something that I realized. It must be consistent. It must be where I'm praying when the Spirit calls me to pray. I looked at Mark 9:29, where Jesus was removing demons from someone through prayer. This can only be done through prayer is what it talks about. Some things can only be done through prayer. And that's what I had to realize. Some things in my character only can come out through prayer. Some things in somebody else's character can only come out through prayer. I started to look at 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are the ones not of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." This is a weapon that will demolish the strongholds that are trying to take over my life. That was trying to consume me 6 months ago. And I'm like, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to take these scriptures and many more scriptures and put it on the board with all these issues and all these anxieties and things going on in my life. And I'm going to pray specifically over each one. Then I started to look deeper into the scriptures where I saw that God also says that prayer must be offered in faith. Where is my faith? I looked at one of my favorite faith scriptures in Matthew 17:20, where it says, "He replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." I need to have faith as small as a mustard seed. Mountains will move. This is a little jar that has a lot of mustard seeds in it. It's one of my favorite things. Someone gave it to me. But I remember the very first mustard seed I ever got was from Michelle Davis. And some of you all know her. But it was at a women's day, and I was just so convicted to see that this small mustard seed really is in my face to remind me that I need to at least have that much faith. But there are some days that I haven't had even one mustard seed faith, not even the jar or anything. But it's like I want to at least grow my faith so it can get to a bountiful amount of mustard seed to see it grow. But that's something God would kind of convicted me in. And mustard seeds have been something that I also learned to give to other people. And there was one time where there was a friend of mine that was praying for something for years. And I found out about it. And then I said, okay, I'm going to give them some mustard seeds and send some mustard seeds to their family. They were praying about something in their family. And I said, I don't even know how to get to their family. I don't have their address or anything, but I prayed about it. And I actually got some mustard seeds and just prayed for God to show me how this can get to them. I didn't tell my friend what I was doing because I was just doing this through faith in God. And God worked it out where one of the disciples I knew was going to their hometown where they grew up and gave them the mustard seeds and a card with the scripture on it. And the one thing that they've been praying for years, they prayed over it, they called me, and they were grateful for it. And 3 months later, that prayer was answered. And I was just so convicted, and it increased my faith to see that if I really apply scripture to what God says, this is going to work. Then I looked at, how does God say I should pray? I should pray consistently, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Without ceasing. In Romans 8:26-27, it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit knows, prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. And the Father knows our hearts and what the Spirit is saying, for the Father pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. This is a hard one for me. Sometimes I really had to stop, like, what is God's will? Do I really pray for God's will? Because I want to pray for what I want. I want to pray for what I see and what I have it exactly on my board. This is the way I want it to look. I don't really want to see the way God's going to do it. In Matthew 7:7, it says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I always love that scripture. I'm like, okay, this is great. This is the way it's supposed to work. You know, you ask, you receive. This is awesome. I'm going to ask specifically and I should receive. It doesn't always work that way. Then I looked at John 15:7, which says, but if you remain in me and remain in my words, and my words remain in you, you may ask for what anything you want, and it'll be granted. Again, I'm like, this should be the answer. But then you stop and look at the beginning, it says, remain in me. That's part of God's will, once again. Whatever is going to be within God and what God wants, that's what's going to be answered. It's not exactly what I see. It's not what I want. That's a hard one to swallow. And I looked at Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. So God was teaching me that, yes, you pray for the things that you have on your heart, pray in the spirit, pray consistently, you know, but you need to pray for my will and change your mindset. And change your mindset where you'll be able to test and approve and see my will be done, no matter what. And that's something that God is always teaching me to get surrendered to. And then I started to see, okay, this is how God says I should pray with his will. And I also need to pray exactly for others as well. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for people who've hurt me. Pray for the things that have gone on in my, pray that my life, but pray that God blesses them so that blessings will come in my direction as well. And I started looking at people who prayed different ways in the Bible. So I went to how Jesus prayed, Hannah prayed, and Daniel prayed. In Hebrews 5, it says, during the 5 verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. I was like, am I reverent? Am I really submitting? I need to get to a place where whatever I'm praying, I'm going to leave it there. And just like Jesus prayed, he cried out in loud tears. I learned to fall to my knees and pray with my face down and let everything come out. My nose is running, whatever. Just pour it out there. Put the tissue on the side and everything. And that's what God is teaching me how to do. In 1 Samuel 1:12, it says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Hannah replied, I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord, and I've been praying out here out of great anguish and grief. So all the times I'm going through different things emotionally, I've learned to pray with a lot of great anguish and grief, and sometimes nothing comes out. It's just crying. It's just sitting there, just being silent before God. In Daniel 9:3, Daniel said, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. In verse 20, it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people of Israel and making my request to the Lord God for his holy hill, While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. I love that because Daniel didn't ask, okay, I want you to tell me exactly what I need to do. I want you to give me insight and understanding. And that's what the angel did. So the prayer was answered when you first started praying. And that always convicts me. It's like God always hears, and he always is waiting for us to come to him. He knows what's on our heart, but he wants us to really give it to him. These are like some of the most impacting scriptures for me. And over the past year, I've learned to also fast more, because fasting was hard for me. I like to eat, so I don't like to do without food, but I've learned to fast once a week and really be able to pray for my friends. I have so many single friends that want to be married, that want to date, that want children, and I pray for each one of them every week, and I fast for them. And it just convicts me more to just see that God can work in their life. And a lot of those prayers have been answered. So what are God's answers? God's answers have been three different things in my life. Sometimes we think that God, you know, has to answer exactly the way it is. It's always a yes, it's a no, and it's a question mark. And so when it's a yes, I'm always like, yeah, this is great. You've answered exactly the way I prayed. This is awesome. You are an awesome God. Let me tell the world. This is amazing. You know, we love those prayers, right? Then if it's no, it just stops me in my tracks. Like, what do you mean no? Like, what? I don't get no. But really, no may be a closed door, but God is just sitting in front of me and say, I want you to accept this. And it may be that it's no for right now, but it's still no. But that's a hard one as well. And then there's the question mark. The question mark is always the one that throws me off the most, because the question mark is, I'm doing something else in your life. You didn't pray for this. You didn't even ask for this. But I'm sending some type of blessing in your life, and I want you to accept it because it's my will. And that's something that has been hard to accept, but it's been amazing to see. If I'm willing to walk in it, is the answer, though. So this is what I did after those 30 days. This is my prayer jar of answered prayers and question marks that God has answered or provided or kisses just for the month of April. And all it is little pieces of paper. Whenever something happens every day, I just write it down in little pieces of paper like this. And I write it all down. I put it in this jar. And I sit in front of me, and it's evidence of God working. And it just shows me that, wow, God is doing something amazing. So at the end of each month, I take everything in this, and I put it in here. And this is everything from the past 6 months. And it's all little sheets of paper of just God doing a lot of different things. And whenever I get discouraged or whenever I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? I'm praying. I think I'm going to stop praying about some stuff because I don't know if you're going to answer this at all. But his word says pray without ceasing, so I can't stop. I maybe need to change my prayer, but I can't stop. But I still keep everything in here and just see God working. And so it encourages me whenever I see that God is still God and he's still moving. So some of those kisses and encouragements that I've received is I pray for encouragement a lot. And I'm going to say something for the single women. Sometimes I know we've prayed for dates, we've prayed for marriage, we prayed for all these different things, but I've learned to pray for encouragement because God can encourage me far more than a single brother. And so I've learned over time that when you pray for encouragement, God does so much more with that. Whether you're single or married, it just blows my mind. So some of the things I'm going to share with you that I prayed for encouragement is just some married people. One of my married friends just drove into town, her and her husband, and just called me and said, "Hey, I just want to take you to Papa Do's just to treat you for today." You know, they came all the way from Florida. And I'm just like, what is that? But that's one of those kisses that God just wants to encourage me with. You know, praying for encouragement also allowed one of my close friends to just call me and say, "Hey, I want you to come with me and my daughter and all her best friends to see Beauty and the Beast. And we can just go and have a girls' day. And we can just hang out and enjoy, you know, hanging out with the girls." And it was the most amazing time. You know, it was simple as one day the mailman in my neighborhood where I used to live just walked by and said, "You know, you're a beautiful woman and you're going to make a great wife one day." I knew that was God. I knew God just wants to put a smile on my face. You know, just all types of things have happened for encouragement. And then I looked at, you know, even dates, like God has just brought dates in front of me and different brothers that just want to say, "Hey, I just want to treat you today or encourage you or cook breakfast or cook dinner or whatever," you know, because it's all about encouragement. I started looking at my career, my job. I'm like, "Okay, God, I don't know where I'm headed here, what's going on. I'm going to apply for whatever." And then God allowed me to become an assistant professor at a Christian college. And it's something that I didn't know about and really think that that would happen, but that's something that God wanted for me. I started looking at my finances, and I was like, "Okay, I need to pay this car off. Like, this needs to happen soon. Like, what do I do with this? Where's the money going to come from?" But I put that on the board and started praying for extra funds. Like, "God, please provide me with the extra so this can be done, and my car will be paid off next month." It's amazing to see what God does. I started praying for my family, and I started to see, wow, my mom is 84, and she acts like she's 50. She really does. But it's a blessing to see that her health is awesome and that she is just vibrant and joyful at that age. And to see some of my cousins that want to come to church and ask me questions now about church, but I didn't give up on them. I started to pray about sharing my faith. And I went on a work trip to Virginia, and I was paired up with this girl that I never met before. And we spent 3 days and walked around this building we were surveying. She used to be a disciple in Church of Christ in Chicago. She and her husband left years ago. And she was like, "God brought you here just for me. I'm thinking I'm there for work." You know? And I'm like, wow. She wants to be restored with her husband. I started praying for the women that God already put in my path. And even when I prayed about coming back to Gwinnett, I was like, "God, you know, you're bringing me back here. Why are you bringing me back here?" And I started realizing that God wanted to use me to help people, to help the single women. And then I look at Kess and I look at Aminia and see them get baptized. I started to look at friendships. And I started to see, "God, okay, I want to have great friendships with women in Gwinnett. Show me how to do that." And one of the first things I prayed about is, well, I need a discipling partner. Who is that going to be? And God gave me Karen McKirkland. God gives me peers like Merlene and Queen and Shannon. God gives me an awesome roommate like Mary T. And I didn't even know where I was going to live when I actually thought about moving over here. But I prayed about being in a house with an incredible sister, and God gave me the perfect one. And then I wanted a little sister. And it was amazing. The first day I came here, the sister came up to me, and she's like, "I want you to disciple me." And I'm like, I'm trying to get a discipler myself. Okay. I don't know if I can do that right now, but let me pray about it and talk to you, later in the week. but it happened, and God gave me Shakara. And it's just amazing, one after one. It's like God does so many amazing things when you just pray about it. And then I see all my big sisters that are here, like Chloe Rao, like Cheryl McCurdy, like Carol. You know, so many women have known me for the past 15, 16 years and who hold me up on my right and my left hand. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. So I wanted to say, how are you responding today to God's answers? To what you're praying about? Are you praying to gain a conviction on what God says about prayer? Are you finding out how you should pray to God to make it personal? Are you trusting in God's answers with the yeses, the noes, and the question marks? He answers our prayers. What's going to be your response?